Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Hey, this is George Wilder Jr., your radio host here. If you are an avid reader, or you just love to read in general, check out my Amazon page at www.amazon.com/author/G Wilder, or pull up the Amazon website and check out all the material that I have produced. Or you can go to Amazon in general and just type my name into the space bar above, and all of my material should materialize right in front of your eyes. Wow. Some of the stuff that you can download and check out, Ain't That a Groove? It's action, romance, Back in the Groove, action, romance, Echoes of My Sin, my autobiography, I Got Stung, and a lot of others that you can check out too. I do essays, novels, short stories, and I
it
think I
right,
do a good
George,
job at them.
Right.
And you can always go and check those things out and give me some feedback. You know, hook me up with some feedback. I'm always looking for feedback on anything that I do, even on the radio show. Give me feedback on the radio show. What do you think about the radio show? Okay, I got to get back to the radio show. Speaking of radio show, I got to get back. All right.
Working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that on this pre-4th of July weekend. It starts tomorrow, and that's great. We're going to be ready for it. We're going to have a good time, and I hope you do too. I know a lot of people at the Rip Fest. At the Rip Fest. When I say Rip Fest, I mean Rip Fest in your own way, in your own community, in your own neighborhood, in your own house, or whatever, or at the park, lake, the beach. It's going to be a great time to cooperate. The days, I go and be nice. But I'm here. I'm going to be right here at the radio station on the 4th. Friday, Saturday, the radio show, and I'm going to love it. I'll have my cue right here. Okay, George Wilder Jr. George Wilder Jr., I'm glad you're download this program. If you can't listen to the program, download the program. Because nobody wants to an internet radio show. And wow, there's the 4th of July. So that's going to be fun. That, That's going to be fun. I'm in studio as always near Lake Michigan. I have this great building in front of me. I'm looking down on the it's pretty nice. You know, in Chicago, it changes. I mean, you could walk in and turn the corner and it changes again. At least four or five times every time you change, go around the corner. I'm sorry. Go around the corner. I can get straight. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. The show topics for today. What is autism? Okay, I have a clip playing. Who is there better to tell you about autism than some person, some teenager who has autism? That's why I went and, you know, looked up, because who is better to tell you? No nurse, no psychiatrist, psychologist, some person who already has autism, coming from the personal knowledge, the person's own experience. I think it's an important subject. If you want to find information on autism, on the internet, you search it, you can find out. And if you are suffering from ADHD or some autism, not focusing on the eye, they're thinking differently, they hear information differently or questions differently. Research autism, what it really means, what it is, and how to better deal with it as a parent. Because I was naive at one point. I thought autism was like something that happened when they were very young, and kids could grow out of it. Boy, was I wrong. Autism is a lifelong thing. I mean, most kids are born with it, born totally with it, and they're gonna die with it. You know, I mean, there's no cure for it. It's there. You know, if you're born with something, it's there. You know, all the defects, all the problems, all the, you know, nuances of autism is gonna be with you for the rest of your life. You think your kid's gonna take care of you? You're gonna be taking care of that kid. You know, and most autistic kids are just that. They're autistic. They are smart. They're bright. They're intelligent, but they're in their own world. They think differently. Some of them may talk differently, sound differently, or act differently. But majority of them are really smart, bright, and intelligent kids. You know, and we have to support them. We have to support them. I know I'm going to support them. You know, I mean. You know, I'm all the way there. I'm an advocate for this kind of a thing, you know, because if it's happening in your own family, you have to try to help other people also with this, you know. So later on in the show, we're going to have a teenager speak about autism. And this girl is very, very bright. She's very, very astute. She's a little nervous, but... she can handle it. I've heard it. I've heard the speech before. The clip before I'm going to air it. So stick around for that. Stick around for that. But now we're going to talk about Bruce Rauner, the governor of Illinois. We're talking about Bruce Rauner, the governor of Illinois. This is the second. And pardon me, I'm a little bit passionate about this. This is the second day of this governmental. This is crazy. Bruce Rauner at his best. This is Bruce Rauner at his best at failing at everything he puts his hands on. He failed at business, in his businesses. They sued him. They took him to court. And now the state of Illinois is about to take him to court. But cutting off needed. There was two bills that the Democrats drafted to pay their bills. He refused to sign them. He vetoed those bills. People are sick. People are worried to death. People are crying. People are begging for those programs to be reinstated. But that he's nowhere near signing or compromising with the Illinois legislature. What this guy wants, I'm going to tell you what he wants. Rauner wants power. He wants power. Right now, he knows he does not have it. Even if he's governor, he's all Illinois. He wants power. It's his for the highway. It's the way he wants it. But he can't get it that way because this is a Democratic city. This is a Democratic state. The legislature is Democratic. He can't do anything. He wants the Democrats to go against their core beliefs and just cut, and just eliminate funding, eliminate needed programs for people to go about with their lives. He's cutting everything. If it's funded, if it's socially funded in Illinois, if it's a program, he's going to cut it. And he's walking around, he's all on television saying that, acting like he's compassionate. The man is nowhere compassionate. If he was compassionate, we wouldn't have gotten this far. And he would have signed those bills to extend so some of these bills can be paid. And that's the point. These are bills. These are bills of the state of Illinois. And these programs, and the way I think about it, it's by law that these programs should be funded, because if you don't fund some of these programs, people are going to outright die. People won't be able to make it to the hospital. If they do make it to the hospital, they will not be seen by a doctor because their Medicaid funding has dried up. It's not that he cut it. He couldn't cut anything. It's just that he let it dry up. That he signed to extend the budget for a month or 2 months. That would have been great, but he doesn't want to extend anything. The Republicans in Illinois, they want this to happen. They don't want to compromise. They don't want to sit down and talk. They want to tell you how it should be done, and you do it. But you have to realize, they are the 1%. We are the 99%ers. Do not let these clean people tell the 99%ers what to do. I think Browner is having cold feet. You know, I mean, he's having cold feet because he never expected the outpouring to be so dramatic on his ass. This is crazy. This is the state of Illinois. This is the third largest state in the United States, and he's screwing with it. He's messing with it. He has ruined it. Every program there is, he is cut, no matter what it is. He doesn't care. You know what he said? He said, well, maybe if we shut the state down, you know, a little pain is better than no pain, a little pain to get things done his way. So we're going to suffer because we got to get things done his way. We get things done his way, this state will be in the toilet. Actually, it is in the toilet because he's taken it there. Him and his cronies has taken this state down. But you have to realize one thing, 99% go down here. Because I think if you're stopping funding, if you're curtailing funding or eliminating funding from needed programs like the senior program, the autism program, Medicaid, where people can't go to the doctor and all of a sudden people die because you refuse to pay the bill that you owe, that the state owes, you should be put in jail. That should be a crime. Somebody dies because the doctor, or somebody dies when they get to the doctor says, well, you can't pay your bill, so we can't fix your cancer, we can't fix your diabetes, we can't leg off, so therefore you come and die. You be held accountable for everyone who dies, everybody who suffers needed an impact from an illness because he cut the budget and he would not sign it. But from what I understand, Lisa Madigan, and the attorney of Illinois, she's going to court to pay some of it. People are being laid off as we speak because of him. And he's going around saying, well, you're going to get paid. It's not him. It's not his authority to say you're going to get paid. If there's not a budget, how can anybody get paid? It's a law on the book says, well, if there's no budget, no one's paid. You're going to get paid. He's a lot of mouth. He's a liar. He's going around like, looking like he's compassionate, like he cares. If he cared, this would have never happened. This would have never happened if the guy cared about what went on in this state. And the reason why I'm so passionate about it is because I live here. I live in this town. and I see people, and I know stuff, and I've seen things, and I know this is not right. People aren't even people. Some people are not even getting food stamps anymore. Some people cannot go to the doctor, like I just mentioned. Health care. I mean, this is nuts. And they're coming after Social Security next, and your pension. 14,000 teachers are being laid off because of the shenanigans and garbage that's going on in Springfield. The teachers didn't do anything. The homeless, the working people, the poor people, we didn't do anything. Nobody did anything. We are suffering from the mismanagement of politicians in Illinois, mismanagement of the governor, Michael Madigan, Cullerton, you know, all of these people. We are in the middle of their crap. So we have to suffer because of they can't get along. They don't like each other. And I understand that a lot of people do not like Bruce Rauner. And I don't blame him. He's made a lot of enemies. When he first ran for governor, he said, well, a lot of people are not going to like me because I'm going to do a lot of things. People not only do not like him, they despise him to the core. He's only been, okay, this is the seventh month of the year. This is the seventh month as being governor of Illinois, if I can say it. He's been in office 7 months, and all this chaos he's started. He's going to blame the Democrats. He's going to blame other people. Nobody takes the blame no more than this guy, this Republican governor. He's trying to be like every other Republican governor in the United States, cutting funding, cutting budgets, shedding down the government, busting unions on the backs of people. Then he's trying to say he's trying to do something for us. He's doing it to benefit the people of Illinois. He's doing it to benefit his rich people. That's who he's doing it to benefit, not us, not people of Illinois. He's doing it to benefit him and his rich cronies. Those are the people he's talking to right now. He's not talking to you or me or anybody else, the people of Illinois. He's talking to his rich buddies from across the United States, and they're telling him to stay strong. Cut them all off. You know, that's what they say. But he cannot come in this state and wreck it. We will not let this man come into this state and wreck the hell out of this great state. Illinois was on the mend until we got this. People did not get out there. Well, people around America have a lot of reasons not to vote. Well, I don't vote because my religion won't let me vote. That's stupid. That's crazy. Let me say something to those people who feel as if their religion is the reason why they do not get their asses out there and vote. Okay. One, you're going to pay taxes. You're paying taxes. You're paying sales taxes if you work. You're paying property taxes if you own a home. You can walk down the street. You're paying taxes. Enough right there to vote. Your taxes that you are paying going straight into these politicians' pocket. When a politician in Congress gets a paycheck, that's your taxes. So they virtually work for you whether if you vote or not. And whether you vote or not, you are under the political rule of this country. What affects me? Going to affect you, whether you vote or not, negatively or positively, it's going to affect you. To give a reason to say, well, I'm not voting because I'm an atheist, I'm not voting because I don't believe in it, it's crazy. If you're living in the United States, you have a right to vote. You have a right to get out there. People died for you to vote. People suffered immensely to give you the right to vote. And what you're telling me is that you're not going to vote because it's your religion or some other thing that's stopping you from getting out there, doing your duty, and keeping these bad guys in office. If you don't vote, then that's, you know, if you're not a voter and you refuse to vote, then that is your prerogative. That is your prerogative. Then if you don't vote, you don't have anything to say about what's going on in this country politically. And a lot of you don't. That is sad. This is the this is America. You should be able to have a word and say in your government, to say who runs your government, to say who is going to represent you in office, who's going to be the best person for your community or your neighborhood, your city, your state. You should have a word in that. To not vote, to sit back and just let havoc happen by getting guys like Bruce and a lot of these other Republican governors all over the South to wreak havoc on the working poor and the working struggling and the homeless and the poor. It's crazy. God, Jesus. Jesus was there for the poor. Jesus was there for the struggling. Jesus was there for the lame. But you're not. You're not. So vote. You got to vote these guys out. A lot of these guys, like I said before and a couple of the shows back, these guys go into the House of Representatives making $174,000 a year. And they get rich. Believe me, they don't get rich by representing you, the voter who voted them in office. They get rich by the rich donors. Corruption, lying, cheating, turning their backs on the people who put them in office. It's good to vote. You have to vote. You'll feel better if you vote. You feel like you got a voice in your country, a voice. But I understand you guys out there, not what? You know, I mean, I'm just blowing smoke. But I understand it. But, you know, if something's happening in your government, you don't like it, you have nothing to say because you might as well live in a foreign country. You don't like voting? Then leave America. You know, I mean, go somewhere else. Because you have to be a voter. You have to be participating in the political process. This is what this is. You live here. You're paying taxes. You're giving them. What are you doing? Just giving them money and not having anything to say? Well, then that's up to you. I mean, if that's what you want to do. But anyway, let me get back to Bruce Rauner. This guy is just bad for Illinois. Okay, he's bad for Illinois. And I guess I'll be talking about this until the government of Illinois opens back up because we're totally shut down. There's no movement nowhere from the legislature or Bruce Rauner. Bruce Rauner, like I said, claims he doesn't want this. He's all over the television saying he doesn't want this. Somehow he doesn't want it. But it was him who started this. That guy is the reason why it's shut down. The government is shut down. At least partial of it is. I think some parts of it is actually still functioning. But the thing is, this has never happened in the history of Illinois, in the history of Chicago. We have troubles in the schools. Our schools are in trouble. There's always that possibility of the schools not opening on time. Like they should, because they're not getting that funding from Illinois. Bruce Rauner is not going to stand for it, and he's supposed to be a guy of education. When he was campaigning, he campaigned on education. Day of office, education seems like it was just a non-starter for him. It was funding come from the state, and that was funding that he and his cronies were going to eliminate. That's why so many teachers are being laid off, will be laid off. You know, the money, you know, they made $634 million. The money's going to come from staff of Illinois. And that is so bad. I mean, you're going to have classrooms that's going to have 40 or 50 students in the classroom. And they make pension payments, but believe me, it's not over. It is not over for the pensions. It is not over for the schools. As long as this guy is in office, like I said before, he is wrecking the state. He should be out on his butt and out of Illinois because he's wrecking it. He wrecked his businesses. He had nursing homes. And he wrecked those. There's court papers and court documents, you know, all on that, talking about that. And then he's going to become governor of Illinois. You know, not many people voted for him. He bought his way into office. He's a billionaire. He bought his. I mean, there was tons of commercials on television. He bought his way into office. His wife was up there smiling her little skinny butt off, lying, talking about she's a Democrat. I'm passionate. So she's lying, talking about I'm a Democrat. If she was, well, then where is she? Why isn't she protesting some of these cuts that her husband are making to these vital programs, or these eliminations of these vital programs? Because he refused to sign those bills. He vetoed a bill that would put an end to some of this. He vetoed it. That tells you right there that Bruce Rauner does not want to compromise. He does not want to negotiate. He wants you to follow his orders. It's his way or the highway. He wants this. If he can't get this. So what he's doing now, he's holding Illinois by shutting Illinois down, like the Republicans did in Congress. He's shutting Illinois down because he can't get his way. So he's going to hurt people because he knows that the Democrats care about people and the Republicans do not care about people. So he's holding Illinois hostage, the people, seniors, children, mentally ill, infrastructure, everything. He's holding everything hostage until he gets what he wants. He's like, well, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. If I don't get this, those people are going to starve and they're going to die. The guy should be locked up. He should be thrown out of office. Someone should find something, a loophole, read the law, go back to reading the Illinois Constitution, and find something, an amendment, something that can get this guy thrown out of office. There's a petition online saying I think it's the petitionsite.com. It's a petition recalling Governor Bruce Rauner, but I don't think I'm pretty sure it's got a few thousand signatures. We need 600,000 signatures, but even if we did get 600,000 signatures on that petition to recall him, recall means to throw him out of office. It's different. He was still in office because there's no recall on the books. There's no recall law on the books in the state of Illinois. If there was a recall law on the books, of course, him 2 or 3 months ago. But there's no recall. So it's like a waste of time, a petition. But I would say sign it anyway because it sends a message to him. It sends a message to him that we are not going to take this sitting down. We are not going to let him come in this state out of nowhere and destroy it. So if you see Bruce Rauner, I've heard several people say that they just hate his commercials that's on television. Those commercials aren't doing anything. The campaign is over. Why is he still putting commercials on television bashing Mike Madigan? Mike Madigan created a bill and was put on his desk to pay these bills, and he vetoed it. He stopped it. And now he's saying, well, it handed me an unbalanced budget. They had something so they can negotiate a balanced budget with you while paying its bills. The state has to pay its bills. They're not paying their bills. If you pay your bills, what happens? We get downgraded. Then he's going around on television trying to blame the Democrats, blaming Mike Madigan, blaming, because he's not the only powerful guy in the state legislature. It's Madigan. Like I said before, Rauner wants power. That's it. That's all he wants. He wants say over the entire state. He wants to be the head honcho over every single social program. If he doesn't get those things, Illinois will be shut down a hell of a lot longer. Children, the elderly, seniors, I mean, I can just There's a litany of social programs that's going to be zapped. Foster care. I mean, and these are bills that the state is obligated to pay. I mean, there's people downtown in the loop every day. And hits not signing of those bills so these programs can go on, so these people can get the services that they needed. Seniors will not get their senior meals. People will not eat. People will not be able to go to the doctor to take care of their illnesses. This is just madness. It's total madness. We got to get rid of this guy. You know, I mean, you know, he's not listening to me. He's not listening to anybody in Illinois. He's listening to his rich buddies. And they're telling him to hang in there, cut them all off, let them starve, let them die. Who cares? That's not going to happen in this state, Bruce. It's not going to happen because you've got, like I said before, you've got attorney Lisa Madigan. She's trying to get, and you have the controller of Illinois. They both shame because Connor and Mike Madigan, the two powerhouses of Illinois, can't seem to do that. And these bills have to be paid. But it's more Bruce Rauner's fault than it is Mike Madigan. So we have to just try to get this guy out of office. He's destroying Illinois. We got to do something. We have to do something. This is Illinois, speak right now. This is the second day it has been shut down. No one gets paid. No one. But you know what? They want you to come to work every day. Come to work. Do your job. State police. Chicago police. They want them, these guys, the people who work at the federal buildings downtown or the state buildings. They want them to come to work, but with no paycheck. So Lisa Madigan is going to court, and she's going to sue. The unions are suing him. He's going to have a lot of people out there suing him. Oh, yeah, he's lawyered up, too, also. But we have the right on our side. He has the wrong. It's just not right. It's just not right. This is not right. So this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm going to take a break, and I'm going to take a breath, you know. So I'm kind of passionate about this, and I hope you guys understand out there that, you know, I mean, like I said before, I live in the state of Illinois. I live in Chicago, and I love it. And I just don't like people coming from nowhere and trying to destroy it. I want to destroy it. Will destroy it because they don't like people. They are haters. We can't let that happen. We're the 99%ers. We get out there and throw his ass out of office. I'm talking about Bruce Rauner. This is George Wilder Jr. of George Wilder Jr.'s show. Let me see if I can't crank up some audio. And, okay, I'll be right back. Are we leaving? appears that I've got cracks in the audio. I don't know, but something, I'm having computer problems. I'm hoping that everything will go okay. So this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thank you for being there. Thank you. I'm going to try this again. If it happens. Teachers are picketing downtown Chicago as I speak. They are worried about special ed cuts in the classes. A lot of things are going to be cut in these classes. And keep in mind, the thing that I'm talking about is Bruce Rauner, okay? The governor of Illinois, who has this state shut down for a second day, which is ridiculous. Okay, they're marching in front of City Hall, if I can adjust this. You know, I mean, they, you know, I don't blame them. People are picketing all over the state. They're picketing Rauner from all over the state for this or that. And he's nowhere to be found. He should not be found, because we're going to jump in his ass as soon as we see him. He does not come in this state and wreck it. I said many times that former governor Pat Quinn was not a great governor, but if he had been reelected, This would not be happening. Even if Rob Blagojevich was governor of Illinois, this would not be happening. We got this Republican clown who have lied his way into office. Lied, that's what I mean, lied, because he championed that he was for children. And by him cutting funding for the schools and not giving anything to schools, he's not for education. He championed that he was for education. But by him cutting funding for the schools proves otherwise, that he's not. So he lied to get into office. He lied when he, on his commercials, as he seemed like he was compassionate and a loving man. He lied. Because a compassionate and a loving man would not have shut down a state at risk. People are dying. People are worried. People are worried sick. That they're going to lose this, they're going to lose that. And they are. He's killing people. This is what they were saying in the state legislature, that people would die. And they're right. People will die. And it'll be on his hands. He's going to blame Mike Madigan. I don't buy it. Mike Madigan, they drafted a bill. And they put it on his desk to pay for these essentials. He vetoed it, means that he did not want it. So he can't blame them. They had a bill. He wouldn't sign it into law so we can get some of these people the help they need, which is financial. So they're down there picketing. Every time I look around, and somebody's down there picketing, and that's great. That's wonderful. That is great. I'm going to do my part on the radio if I don't, you know, actually go down there and participate in some of these marches and rallies against this guy. Against him. Okay? Because it looks like Illinois is going to be shut down for a few days now. I mean, I'm not looking at anything. If I look at anything, I'm seeing that maybe by the middle of July, if something happens, I don't know. A lot of kids are going to go without. A lot of daycare centers are closing up and firing people. This is the essential help for people. But the Republicans do not care. If you have a job and going to work, they don't care about mortgage. They don't care if you have to pay the rent. They don't care if you have to pay for your car. They don't care if you have to feed your children. They really do not. They care about their rich donors. Wall Street, corporations. This is what they care about. They care about getting into the White House so they can wreak more havoc. And for you to say that you're not going to vote, or you, that's ludicrous. Not voting means, you know, you might as well leave the United States and go to the States, live somewhere else, because these people are going to wreak havoc on the United States. This guy is wreaking havoc already on Illinois. You got a governor in Ohio wreaking havoc. You got a governor in Wisconsin wreaking havoc on unions and working people in the middle class. So just because you have a job and a house and a home and a car, you will suffer under these Republican governors. Everybody will. The poor, the struggling, the working poor, the struggling, the homeless. As I'm sitting here now looking out of my window, they're talking about raising fares, commuter trains, Amtrak, Metra, RTA, and the fares are already through the roof. But they have to go up even further because of Rauner's decision not to sign those bills, those financial bills, to pay the bills, the state bills. They have to pay. You have bills, I have bills. The state has its bills to pay. And they're refusing to pay them because Rauner is not getting what he wants, so he's going to hold the state and these agencies, these social agencies, hostage until he gets what he wants. And what he cut, he wants more cuts, elimination of just about everything that is everything, depend on for their livelihood, for their lives. This is what he wants. And right now, he can't be found. He's probably somewhere in some back room with his minions, you know, standing over some table figuring out how they're going to do this, because he knows that the lawsuits are coming. He knows that the law is coming. And he knows that we're not going to stand by and let him destroy this state. We're going to find some way to help these people, to help get that funding to those people who are in dire need of that funding, if they do not get that funding. We're going to do not care. They're making up all kind of lies. They're spinning. They're saying this and saying that, things that are not true, and expecting people to buy it. The thing about it, some people do buy the garbage that comes out of the Republicans' mouths. But most of the time, it's the older American that's listening to that stuff. Okay, I'm about to say something. Listening to that stuff and believing it. But, you know, there's a lot of people who probably voted for Rauner. However, he basically bought himself into office. But there's probably a few people, I'm not going to say a few, maybe a lot of people who voted for Rauner. But now they're suffering under this guy because he's making their life miserable. This should tell people something. This should wake people up. Get your butt out there and vote. Even if you don't want to vote, vote. It's going to affect you. It's going to be a part of you. This is the second day of the shutdown. Tomorrow I'm going to be on the air, and it's going to be the third day. The next day, the fourth day, the fifth day. I'm going to be railing about this until the shutdown is over. But right now, I don't see an end point to this. I really don't. But I do know that there are some people in Springfield who don't feel this is right, who doesn't feel this is proper. This is not good for the state. And they're trying a way to pay the bills of the state without Governor Rauner and without Mike Madigan, without the legislature, because they know this is not right. So they're going to try and take this through the courts. The courts are going to have to decide. And I know that the courts are going to side with the people. Hopefully the courts will side with the people. And this is going to make Rauner look like mush, which he is. He's just a big talking coward ass Republican. you know, who hate people, who doesn't like to see people go to the doctor. He doesn't like to see people eat or anything like that. And this is George Wilder doing the George Wilder Jr. Show. And I'm going to see if I can crank up this audio. I'll be right back. Passionate. It is time for the brainy and clever quiz question of the day. Here we go. Hit it, George. All right, it's time for the smart quiz question of today. This is the smart quiz question. And that question is, how many stars are on the U.S. flag and what do they stand for? I'll read that again. I'll say it again. I made it up myself, the question, so how many stars are on the U.S. flag and what do they stand for? That's an easy question. I'm pretty sure you guys know. That's an easy question. Do you know? Huh? Okay. We'll see if they the audience know that. Thanks. All right. Somebody here knows it. So, but do you know it? Okay. All righty. We're going to move on to the next segment. If you don't know the answer to that smart quiz question, we should have the answer by the end of the show. Okay, let's move on. What is autism? The impact on the families. What is autism? Is autism a long problem or is it curable? Okay, does the child with autism grow to be an adult? Is autism a disease or a disability? Okay, we're going to find that out from a person who has autism. So you guys sit back and listen to this. I believe it's very informative, and she's very, very intelligent. I'm just hoping that we don't break up or anything like that. I don't want you to hear cracks or anything like that. The internet is wishy-washy sometimes. So here she is. She's going to tell us she's a person with autism talking about autism. Here we go.
I want a renaissance to shine a light. The change we want, set things right. We've been waiting in the dark for so long.
Hi everyone, I'm Amethyst, and this is the much anticipated episode of Ask an Autistic, What is Autism? Now this is an absolutely massive topic, and I've actually been dreading this video a little bit because how do I do it justice in roughly 10 minutes? But you all have been waiting so patiently, and so I'm just going to go for it. Autism is a pervasive neurological developmental condition that affects about 1% of human beings. To unpack that a little bit, pervasive means that autism affects pretty much every part of a person, their personality, their experiences, their memories, how they grow up, how they communicate, and how they think and move. Basically, pervasive means that autism isn't something that just affects one part of a person. It's not something extra a person has tacked onto them. And it's also not something small that can be overlooked. Neurological indicates that autism has to do with the brain. Being autistic means that your brain functions differently. The structure of the brain may be different than non-autistic people's brains, and the different areas of the brain and how they talk to each other and work together may be different as well. Developmental indicates that autism begins before birth. When a little fetus is developing, it's either going to be neurotypical or neuroatypical. It's going to be autistic or allistic. And all that is determined very early. So autistic people are born autistic. Autism isn't something that can happen to you. It's not something you can catch. And contrary to what some would have you believe, it's not the result of things like heavy metal poisoning. And autism is not caused by vaccines. This isn't even something I will discuss because it's not a discussion. They just don't. Basically, a lot of people want to point fingers at what causes autism. But the truth is that autism is a naturally occurring variation in the human brain. And there have always been autistic people. It's just that we didn't recognize them as autistic. Autism isn't a disease. It's not something that you can catch or transmit. And it's not an illness. Autism isn't something that you can fix or cure. Autistic people are like people with Down syndrome. We are born autistic, and we'll live our lives autistic. And hopefully, with the help of our family and our friends and our loved ones, we can grow up into happy, healthy autistic people. Many autistic children will follow a different developmental trajectory than non-autistic children. Autistic people tend to do things at our own pace. An autistic child may speak at 3 or 5 or 10, and of course some autistic people will never speak with their mouth parts, but that doesn't mean that they won't hit other milestones or that they're not going to develop. Autistic children have just as much capacity for growth and development and learning as non-autistic children do. It's just that because our brains work differently, because we think differently and we see the world differently, we take in sensory input and process it differently, our brains are different, and so we are going to grow and develop and learn differently. All autistic people are different, but there are some things that all autistic people share in common. Autistic people will often have distinct or atypical ways of processing information. The way we look at the world, perceive it, process what we're seeing, and then think about that information is different than in non-autistic people. Autistic people often have different abilities or capacities for language. Some autistic people report that they don't naturally think in language. They may think in visuals or in abstract feelings or in just not words. And so using words, using spoken or written language, isn't first nature for a lot of autistic people. And so that requires this constant translation because our society is very much based in spoken language. All autistic people will have atypical sensory experiences. Autistic people may be over or undersensitive to sensory input from their environment or within themselves. Some autistic people are both over and undersensitive to sensory input at the same time. Autism also affects the way that a person moves. Many autistic people have motor dyspraxia, which is where the brain knows what it wants to do, but there's a kind of disconnect between the brain and the body. And so this can result in clumsiness or issues with fine motor control, things like tying your shoelaces or writing by hand. And some autistic people find that they have trouble with gross motor control, things like riding a bicycle or keeping their balance or kicking a soccer ball. Autistic people also do something called stimming. Stimming is also known as self-stimulation or stereotyped or repetitive behaviors. There are as many different ways to stim as there are autistic people, but some common stims include hand flapping, often when excited or agitated, rocking back and forth or side to side if that's more your thing. A common stim is finger flicking. A lot of people will wring their hands or twirl their hair. Some chewing or biting on clothing or objects is a common stim. And also visually stimming by flicking your fingers in front of your face or using an object. And there are ways to vocally stim as well, like repeating a favorite word or humming or singing. Stimming is one of the most obviously autistic behaviors. And by that I mean autism is kind of an invisible disability in that there are no physical markers of autism and autistic people don't all share physical traits. But when an autistic person starts stimming, starts moving in a way that is naturally autistic or obviously disabled, that invisible disability becomes visible. A lot of autistic people will prevent themselves from stimming or from moving in the way that is most natural and comfortable for them because they don't want to be perceived as weird, and we live in a very ableist society where disability is considered kind of shameful and bad. Some autistic people, ASAN says it's about 2 in 10 autistic people, will never speak with their mouth parts. And by that I mean they may be able to communicate via alternative methods of communication, but they'll never actually speak with their mouth. Of course, this is not the same as not having anything to say. Through use of methods of AAC, like text-to-speech apps, or the rapid prompting method, or pointing to a letterboard or sign language, autistic people who are nonverbal, who can't speak with their mouth, are able to communicate. This allows autistic people who have verbal apraxia, which is like motor dyspraxia, but a disconnect between the brain and the mouth specifically, to advocate for themselves and to talk to people around them and to say what they think and feel and what they want, just to communicate, which really is a basic human right that everybody should have the opportunity to do. Many autistic people will have comorbid conditions in which they're autistic, but they also have another or multiple other mental illnesses or neurological conditions or whatever else going on. I'm autistic, and I'm also synesthetic, meaning that I have synesthesia, and I also have OCD, or obsessive compulsive disorder, which is a mental illness. Autism is a different kind of brain. It's a different kind of brain wiring, but it's also a disability. This is because the autistic neurotype is often accompanied by impairments, like impairments in executive functioning, which is the ability to start a task and then to continue on that task, to keep all the steps straight in your head, and then to follow through and complete the task. And so multi-step processes or tasks can be difficult for autistic people. Some autistic people have trouble communicating with non-autistic people due to differences in information and sensory processing. Things like tone of voice or sarcasm or sarcastic joking can really throw us off. A lot of autistic people will avoid eye contact for sensory reasons or because it's harder to process information while maintaining eye contact. And a lot of autistic people will have difficulty with facial expressions, which actually have a lot of information in them all at once. And facial expressions and microfacial expressions can change very quickly, and so it can be difficult to keep up while also keeping up with all the other sensory input and information in the environment. Difficulty in communication isn't true in the same ways for all autistic people. Some autistic people will have trouble with eye contact, and some don't. Some autistic people have trouble detecting sarcasm, and others don't. But all autistic people will have some kind of communication or language differences. Motor dyspraxia and issues with fine motor control are also considered an impairment. And sensory integration differences, or sensory processing disorder, can be very debilitating in a society that is very loud and very fast and very bright, and that is built for people with typical sensory experiences and thus doesn't accommodate people with sensory processing disorder or different sensory integration experiences. It's tough being autistic in a world that's built for non-autistic people. But that's what accommodations are for. What accommodations do is level the playing field for people with disabilities. Because when you're disabled, when you have impairments, you don't have the same opportunities as non-disabled people. But accommodations can change that. Accommodations for autistic people can look like providing access to alternative and augmentative methods of communication, or AAC. Accommodation for autistic people can look like being understanding and accepting of the fact that autistic people have different sensory integration and needs than you do. And so being accepting of the ways that autistic people will accommodate their sensory needs, like wearing sunglasses indoors, or wearing ear protection against loud noises, or stimming to deal with negative sensory input. Being accepting of that, of the ways that we cope, and also making an effort to make the environment more friendly to autistic people, are great ways to accommodate autistic people. Like people with other kinds of disabilities, autistic people deserve the same rights and opportunities that non-disabled, neurotypical people get. Autistic people deserve to access the same level of education and the same employment opportunities as everyone else. No matter what an autistic person's impairments or challenges are, they're going to have strengths as well, because we're human. We're very complex that way. The thing to do for autistic people is to keep in mind that we're people. The ways that we move and think and communicate and express ourselves are different. They may look different than how you would do those things, but that doesn't mean they're invalid. the autistic way of being, the autistic experience, is not wrong, it's just different. All autistic people deserve the same rights and respect and societal inclusion that non-autistic people do. Whether or not they can pass well as non-autistic, if they seem almost normal to you, whether or not they move or communicate differently than you do, and whether or not they can speak with their mouth parts. Like I've said, every autistic person is different.
Okay.
And autism itself is a very complex condition. So really, in this video, I was just able to scratch the surface, and just that. So if you're interested in learning more about autism, I'm going to link to some awesome resources in the video description, so please do check those out. And I'll also be linking to my blog and my Facebook page and my Twitter, where I tweet and post and blog about all things autism and disability related. I hope you all are having a wonderful, flappy Autism Acceptance Month, and I'll see you all next time. Thanks for watching Ask an Autistic.
I want a renaissance to shine.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. That was great. That was wonderful. I hope you something. So far, I didn't make it. I'm sorry. I'm not sure, but let's go for what we know. That was a segment, the autism segment. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you understood it. I hope that there wasn't too many internet problems that interfered. We will have it back on the show. Don't worry about it. If you didn't get it that time, you get it this next Saturday. Saturday. This for live week, he's just talk about his. But I thought she was great. I thought she was a sweet girl. So she's saying that autism people like the people. But so, but what gets me is that some kids at school, if you got autism kids at school and you got with red children, really need to kids. I've witnessed kids on autism or any disability. The kids are weird, they're crazy, they're hearted. Let me stay on. Okay, I have technical difficulties. Some I have computer problems or something. But we're gonna try and hang in. Which we've been talking about autism, and I hope I haven't blanket your evening with this, but autism is a serious problem. It's a very serious problem, and we have to deal with it. It's a problem that we have to learn how to treat. It'll never go away. It's not curable. It ain't gonna happen. So we just have to find the ways how to treat people with disabilities of this kind a little bit better, and we have to be a little bit more understanding. Have someone in the family who has autism. Anybody can be born with it. A lot of people think it has something to do with drug families or anything like that. It doesn't have to be with something of smoking, drinking, doing drugs while you're pregnant. Maybe that can have a sort of impact on the baby being born. You know, I think that has something to do with it. I mean, you know, when a woman is pregnant, she's done a lot of the wrong things, like drinking alcohol steadily, and she's pregnant. That's gonna affect that's gonna bother the fetus. You know, all baby to be born, and it's gonna affect that. You know, and so I think that's the only way. Listen to the that translated without giving it to someone else, because it's something you're born with. You know, so it's something that happens. You're born with it. You're going to have it until you die. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. If you want to chime in on that, my number is 347-857-1762. This is George Wilder Jr. George Wilder Jr. about basically this bit about it, because I live in Chicago, I live in Illinois, and it's affecting me, because I'm watching it affect other people, totally. People downtown Chicago Loop right now protesting this guy. When I say I'm a Bruce Rauner, the governor of Illinois, I'm on posters in Illinois, and posters protesting him on posters with a kind of weird-looking face. But, yeah, they're down there protesting. I don't – when I get off the radio, I just might go down and just join them, because this guy has – this state has never been – and I know you heard that at the beginning of the show. And I think everybody in Illinois should be mad, pissed. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. The man wants power. He wants to be uno runo. He wants to be king. He wants to be emperor of Illinois. And he's just one Republican. And the legislature is filled with Democrats. So he'll have a hard time being king. Okay, but he has power, and Mike Madigan has power. He wants the power that Mike Madigan has. He wants to, and as we, as a lot of us know already, the Democrats can be very, very weak-kneed sometimes, and give up and give in and cave in. But I'm hoping that they don't do that. Junior, the to the show, and I made it through the show the best way I could because I'm having computer problems. I don't know if it's problem outside or if they're on the inside, but I do know if you're on the internet, you taking your chances, and I love taking my chances, but I love being on the internet, and I love internet radio, and I love over-the-air radio. I listen to talk show hosts, too, so that's how I learned to do it. If I learned anything at all, I love your feedback. I love your questions. I love your comments. The things you say about the show, thank you very much. I'm always trying to improve. State could be up court. They're saying that if people want to get paid in this state, so they're not getting paid now because the state is shut down. And there's no budget. If the state is shut down and there's no budget, that means the state workers will not be paid. Tall buildings downtown, they will not be paid. The court buildings, they will not be paid. State workers include lawyers, doctors, CPAs, rank-and-file employees, they will not be paid. So Lisa Madigan and come to court with blessings of Mike Madigan, because Mike Madigan is the father of Madigan. So Mike Madigan is the powerhouse. So, daughter Lisa Madigan, who is the Attorney General of Illinois and the comptroller person who writes the checks, mail checks out to these working people, their paychecks, and that's a good thing, which Rauner has championed to stop because he's not getting his way in the city of Illinois. He's not getting his way. Okay, let me see what's going on here. Hopefully, I won't have any more computer problems, but that's not going to happen. So, all righty. This is the Illinois shutdown. This is the second day, and we're going into the third day. And everybody in this state should be really, really pissed off. I can't see. There's a lot of other talk shows that's going to be coming on after me on over-the-air radio that they're going to be talking about this. This is a hot topic. This is one of the hottest topics that you can think of, is this state shutdown of Illinois, because it's never happened before. I know I'm repeating myself, but hey, wow, this has never happened before. State payroll could be up to the courts as budget impasse continues. Okay, let's see if I can move this microphone around a little bit. There we go. State workers wondering if they'll be paid while Illinois goes out a spending plan a little while longer, it appears. It means they're not getting paid. That's what they're saying. Read that again. State workers wondering if they'll be paid while Illinois goes without a spending plan will just have to wonder a little bit longer. They'll have to wait as the state attorney, as the state's attorney general and the controller seek to clear their legal authority to make payroll. Okay, they're trying to get people. They're trying to get people their checks. They're trying to get people paid, and that's great. The bickering between Republican Governor Bruce Rauner and the Democratic-controlled legislature led Wednesday to Illinois kicking off its fiscal year with no spending plan in place. Comptroller Leslie Geister Munger said that means state workers could start missing paychecks as soon as July 15th. So if they want to continue to get paid past July 15th, they're going to have to court, like I said at the beginning of the show. And that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. You know, they got to take these things to the court. Like I said at the beginning of the show, Rauner, he's going to be flooded with lawsuits from every angle. The unions are going to sue him. The teachers are going to sue him. State workers are going to sue him. Some of these agencies, social agencies who take care of the sick, the elderly, the children, they're going to sue him. He's going to have lawsuits up his ass, which he deserves. Totally deserves. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show. I've been having some computer problems. Glad you're with me. Glad you're podcasting. Glad you're archiving. This is a wonderful time. This is a wonderful show. Maybe I shouldn't say this is a wonderful time. I guess it's a wonderful time to be alive. It looks good outside. It looks great. But I'm still a little pissed off. I guess I will always be pissed off. As long as this beautiful and wonderful and gorgeous state has come to its knees because of an overzealous governor, Bruce Rauner. The guy wants power. What else is there? He wants power. He wants control. And he's pissed off that about a couple of weeks ago, the legislature turned down his turnaround agenda for Illinois. And his turnaround agenda is nothing more than just cuts, more funding cuts from these vital programs that will affect these vulnerable people. This is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. My call-in number, you can call me or you can comment or you can just sit back and listen. The number is 347-857-1762, broadcasting live from Illinois. I will have a guest on the show tomorrow, author Eli Farrell. She's going to be interesting because the name of her book is, I think it's her first book, but it's a great book. I've read parts of it, and I believe it's an autobiography. It's the story of her life. That's what makes it so interesting. And the name of the book, get this, is His Eye is on the Sparrow. That's the name of the book. I think that's the reason why I asked her to be on the show, because of the title of the book. And, of course, we know, some of us know, anyway, that that's a song, a religious song that was sang way back in the day. I think I remember Marvin Gaye doing it, and he done a great rendition of the song. I mean, it was soulful. It had feeling and everything. It was just great. And the name of her book is called His Eye is on the Sparrow, and I believe it's her autobiography. Because, you know, that's the way it felt to me when I read parts of it. It felt like an autobiography. So tomorrow on this show, on the George Wilder Jr. Show, will be author. I don't know if he has at least, but we'll talk about that tomorrow. So that should be interesting. That should be fun. Lisa Sparrow. I've talked to her before, but so you know, we'll get to you. You're getting from this, so you know. So this is not good. It's not. It's not. Money. Junior of the George Carter Jr. Show on radio. I mean, follow me on Facebook. Like on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me. I mean, you know, follow this show, okay? You miss a show here, you miss a lot, because this is the talk of our time. This is the talk of times. I will be right back. Stay with me.
Another great show has come to an end. Thank you for...
somebody hit the wrong button. I will be right back. Crank it up.
Thank you for that.
Thank you. You know, in the midst of all this bad news that's coming out of Illinois, and it's a lot, it's quite a bit of bad news, there is good news. There is some good news. The good news is, started yesterday, July 1st, 2015, the good news is that there was a hike in the minimum wage in the city of Chicago. It is now $10 an hour. And guess what? The minimum wage will go up every year until 2019. So that's a bit of good news over all of this rotten news. But the minimum wage has gone up. So if you live in Chicago and you have a job, your paycheck just went up. There's been an increase. $10 an hour is not going to buy you that house on and that picket fence in Evanston, but it's a start. It's a start. It's better than $8.25 or $7.25 an hour. It's $10. But you got to realize one thing: the minimum wage has gone up in Chicago, so will Chicago rents will go up, food will go up. Buying a car will go up. Daycare will go up. Just because the minimum wage has gone up, everything else is going to go up. So you probably will not feel that raise. Because, like I said before in other shows, Chicago is an expensive city to live in. You really got to have some money to live here. There's no doubt about it. You got to have some sort of money to live here. It's expensive. It's expensive. Even if you live in a rundown neighborhood, a crime-ridden neighborhood, you're going to pay through the nose. Because everybody who is anybody, if they own anything, landlords and stuff, they're going to jack up your rent. They're going to jack it up. They're going to say, well, if you can't afford it, move. And there's a lot of programs that there's a social program called Rental Assistance Program, where the government helps people pay their rent to help them to stay in their apartment. From my understanding, some of those programs are going to be cut. If it's social program, it's vulnerable to not being there anymore. So I just want to give my audience a heads up on that. If they don't already know, then it's always something to learn. Like I said, I learn something every day. And you learn something. If I learn something, you're going to learn something on this show. So. Therefore, if you don't know already, and if you're listening to me in Montana, California, Texas, or whatever, you know that today in Chicago, people are making $10 an hour minimum wage, and that's a great thing. But you know what? Some places around the United States, people are making $15 an hour. In some cities around the United States, they're making. But you know what? $10 isn't start. is a start. That's all it is. It's a start. And the great thing about it, just like I just mentioned, it's $10 an hour, and it will go up every year until 2019 or after 2019. And that's a good start. That should make people feel good, especially people who already have jobs, like or Foods or Jewels. You know, they have just gotten raise from the city government. City government, not the federal government, but the city government, which is Chicago itself. And that's a good thing. That's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. Okay, the smart quiz question. How many stars are there on the U.S. flag, and what do they stand for? How many stars on the U.S. flag, and what do they stand for? Okay, 725, I guess I can give you guys the answers, but I know you know this. It is just so simple. There are 50 stars on the U.S. flag, the United States flag, and each star stands for a state. There's 50 stars, 50 states. There you go. That's your answer. All right. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Okay. Let me get back to the state shutdown because it's looming. From what I'm just gathering here, it's going to go on and on and on and on. And in order for these people to get paid, they're going to take this stuff to the court. They're going to the court to get people their paychecks. They're going to the court to get some of these get some money out to some of these social programs so people don't die. That's more than what Rauner is doing. That is more than what Rauner is doing. Rauner is somewhere hiding while people, because people all over this state despise him. They don't just dislike him like he said they would. People despise him. Period. He's taken this state into the gutter. State is in the toilet because of him and his rich buddies. He bought the office of Illinois. And I live here. I've been living here all my life. I lived in Illinois just about all my life. And this guy going to come in here and just tear this state apart because he wants to. This is what he wants. I've seen him, like I said, I've seen him on TV saying that this is not what he wants, but it's not in what he say, actions. It's his actions that tells you he doesn't get. It's his actions that tells you that he doesn't give a damn. Oh, I can't even say it. Vetoing the money that was going to save these programs. He vetoed it. Taking away these checks from the workers, the state workers, a budget that the Democrats has. He refused to sign a budget that the Democrats drafted for him. He vetoed everything. Two bills he vetoed that could have kept this state from shutting down, but he refused because he wanted to shut down. He said pain may bring about changes. Not this kind of change, mister. Not this kind of change. Okay, I'm just about off the air. Join me tomorrow. My guest will be Lisa A. Sparrow. She will be on the show talking about her book, An Eye on the Sparrow. That should be interesting. That should be very interesting. Saturday, I'm going to have another 17-year-old with autism talk about autism. You know, I mean, like I said before, what better is it to have someone talk about a subject that is who is suffering from the same thing? See you later. Bye. Check out tomorrow. See you later. Bye.